This has been a very special week in our lives, that it has been the annual meeting. And great things came from that. And thank you for all that you do along the way. Good to see our good friend, Brother David Plott, your Director of Missions. Friends along the way, and thank you, Brother George, for all the work and the things, and for the invitation of being with you. Great job. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Well, I want to speak to you just a moment this morning about some things that I think are very important, because I think about those things that we like to keep. And now, I like keeping things. Do you like keeping things? As a kid, my mother discovered, as I had taken a nap, that there were some things that was falling out of my pocket. And so they began to count them. I had 52 different things in my pocket. I never did get over it. I even think of things I wish I had kept. Old cars that today would have value, that, you know, we got rid of them for 50 bucks and thought we were rich, and today they would be worth much more. But things that we let go. In 1974, May the 5th, Bertha Adams passed away. Bertha was 71, lived in Palm Beach, Florida. She was in the hospital those past few days, and during that time, her weight was barely 50 pounds. Miss Adams was dying of malnutrition. She'd gone door to door and trying to find food about any place that she could. Her clothing, what she had, came from the Salvation Army, or out of a can somewhere on the side of the road, wherever. After her death, they discovered, when looking through her things, and then discovered that she was actually a millionaire. In the bank was $800,000 in cash and bonds. The rest of the things that she had valued over $1 million. And yet she lived in poverty. You know, my friend, many times today, I think that we come to that point, and I think we can do it as a church. I think we can do it as that, if somehow we have the idea that we can keep it. We have the idea that we don't want to do anything with it, and so we live in poverty. And God says, you really can have it all. You can have more than really you can imagine. Because you see, it is within that, and it's like our scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, the problem with that of Miss Adams, it was the idea that she thought that she was poor. I think many times in our lives today and in the church life, we have the idea that somehow we're poor. And really, we're rich. We're wealthy in some things. In Matthew chapter 13, I want us to think of these two verses of Scripture as well. Because in verses 45 and 46, it is that of where Jesus has been continually talking to the disciples and others that have gathered by the Sea of Galilee, where he's gotten in a boat and has just pushed out a little bit, and he's telling them what the kingdom of heaven is like. I want you to understand what it's going to be like there. I want you to know, and he did it in story. He did it in parables. He did it in things that they could relate to, like sowing seed. He did it in just telling those things that they knew about every day. And he says in these verses of Scripture, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great value, a great price, the scripture says, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Of all the things he had been searching all along the way as he dealt in great pearls, these very good items that were collectors, things that really were keepers. I say to you, church, I think in leadership and in your pastor, I think you've got a keeper. A pearl, I don't know if I'd go that far. Maybe Angie. Maybe the children, the family. But you know what it is, and that's a keeper. And I think that has value when you know that you have a keeper church. You have a church of value in a community of value. And this merchant, he said, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give everything I've got in order to have it. Everything. He was leaning totally upon that, and really that's faith, isn't it? It's that of saying, I'm going to give everything I've got in order to have this one thing. I saw the movie City Slicker. You may have seen that along the way. And old Curly talked about that, this one thing. It took him a good while to figure out what the one thing was. But there's some things that I think that are real keepers in our life. And there's some things we need to let go. But I think of those things when I think about that, of some things that we need to let go. We need to let go of our past. Forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward. I'm looking for the prize, the high calling of that in Christ Jesus. I'm letting those things go that are behind me, and I'm looking at those things ahead. And I tell you, church and pastor, it is that of having a vision about where you want to go. If a church ever loses its vision, you ever lose your dream about where you want to go and the target, if you ever lose that, you're on a downward slide. You really are. Because it's that vision. When you look at a bell curve that sometimes we look at with churches and with businesses, and you're in those growing times, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with the life of the church. It has to do with one thing. It's what's driving the church. Who's behind the wheel? Who's driving the bus? My friend, in order for us to be able to be driving and going, it needs to be that vision is our driver. That's why we exist. It's the vision. It's the hope. It's the dream of that of tomorrow. It's those things that we're looking to do. It's our hope of winning our community to Christ. But in order to do that, we let those things go that have no value, and we hold those things in high value like the pearl. Everything else. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in things that really don't matter. Well, we were driving along one time, and as Brother George mentioned, we had three children. Our youngest is a son, and he was having one of those fits, crying, wailing. They were in the back in the car. We were coming home from church. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can forget where we've been? Of course, he's just a little kid. And as he went on and on, you know, and I guess it got to a point that no one was paying him any attention, and he paused for a moment and he said, why was I crying? He had forgotten the cause. He wanted to take it back up again, but he wanted to remember what it was that he was crying about. I think sometimes we can get that way even in our church life and in our personal life. We go on and on about something and we're not sure even what it's about, because we've lost our vision and our dream of where we really need to be going. I think it's that of being able to keep in mind some things that we keep, and we keep them very closely. And that is the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what matters. This one thing. It's the gospel. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid the price. God gave his only son. He was not a son, the only son of God, that he gave into the world, and he went to the cross. There's not another one coming. He's it. He's the Savior of the world. He's alive today. And my friend, if we ever lose that, and if we do not keep that before a lost world about Jesus Christ, that's number one. We will lose it all. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of the ministry. That's why we're here, is that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he loves them. He loves us. And it's love of family. It's love not only of your own personal family, but it's love of the church family. Sometimes it's that it's tough. There's controversy. You didn't know that. Do you know there's controversy in your church? How many of you know that there's controversy in your church? Any of you have controversy in your marriage? The rest of you might as well get your hand up. What about at work? There's always controversy. And this idea of thinking that there will not, has not, there's always, it's just a part of being who we are, isn't it? But there's ways to deal with that. And you never want to get away of thinking, well, you know, and part of it is forgetting those things that's behind. We forget those things. And we keep Jesus first. But there's those things because, you know, when it all comes down to it, if we do those things in an honest way, an open way, and we talk about it and keep in mind that we love each other, everything will work out. And we'll have differences of opinion, and you know what? It's okay. It's all right to be wrong. So what? You know, there's some days that, you know, there's just some days I wake up stupid. Have you ever had one of those days that you just wake up and every time you try to do something that day, it just doesn't work right? It falls apart. I got up one morning and I had my day fixed out. I mean, you know, it's like most days. This is what I'm going to do today, Lord. I hope you'll go along with me. Sort of in reverse of how it should be. Preachers do that, don't they, Brother Jim? On this day, the first thing I noticed, now I had a little thing I wanted to do on the farm. The first thing I discovered was a flat on a tractor on the rear with fluid in it. I can see you. I know some of you have been there. It's not, I never did get up and hope for a flat. Did you? Hope this will be my flat day. And I reminded the Lord of my schedule. I said, Lord, did you not see this morning? Did we not already talk about this, how you're supposed to go before me and make sure everything's okay and I don't have any problem today? He didn't say anything. It was one of those one-sided conversations. But you know, see, I thought it was all about me. Excuse me. It wasn't about me. It really wasn't about my tire. It was about the guy that fixes flats at the flat fixing place, you know? Because it was that, being able to have a real conversation with him about Christ. Because sometimes we think it's all about our little agenda. Let me tell you, church, God's got a plan for us. And when we put everything else aside, and when we put that and saying, Lord, whatever you want, that's going to be okay. I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to hear someone else's opinion. I'm willing to work together. Now, is that to say that Brother Jim will always have the right answer? No. But together you will. Because it'll be God driving. It'll be his vision for you. Not someone else's. But it's looking ahead. What are you willing to pay for it? It'll cost you everything. That's what it'll cost. What did it cost the merchant? It cost him everything. If you serve God, put Him first, there'll be a lot you won't get to take with you. There'll be a lot you leave behind. God gave us His best. And if this church becomes the best, is the best, it'll be costly. But you won't regret it. Do you think He regretted whatever that He invested in that one thing, that one pearl? He didn't talk about what it cost. Whenever someone would come around, He'd say, "Let me show you this pearl. It's the one I've been looking for the whole time." When you give your life totally to Christ and to His service, it won't be about what you left behind. It will be about that you have in Christ, the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. It will be about the vision of this church and where it's going. Let me tell you what's happening at Withful Baptist. Let me tell you what's happening with people being saved. Because it's the vision. And it's about everything that we put into it together and working together. And I know you will work at it with every effort that you have. And I know God will bless it. You know why? He wants to. And you can't outgive Him. It's impossible. I will close with this. A little boy out in the days of the old West, he and his dad went to the general store to get supplies. And as they were there, the storekeeper said to the little boy, who was looking at a jar of hard candy, he said, "Reach in and get you a handful." The little boy never said a word, didn't make a move, didn't do anything. The merchant said again, "Son, go ahead, get you a handful of candy. I'll get a bag to put it in." Not a move, not a word. The merchant went ahead and got the candy, put it in a bag. On the way home, the little boy's dad said, "You know, son, I've never seen you act that bashful. I've never known for you to be that hesitant about anything, especially candy." He said, "Well, Dad, I hesitated because I knew he would get me some, and his hand was much bigger." Let me tell you, my friend, God's hand is big enough. He will bless you. He's not trying not to bless you. He's trying His best to bless you. Get a handful. You can trade it. You can trade it. You know what? You can trade in a pocket full of dirt. He will put in place of it a pocket full of diamonds. Take the diamonds, church. Take the diamonds, Pastor. He'll bless you in a great way. God bless you.